In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text this second Sunday of Christmas is our gospel reading, Luke, the second chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when we hear the story of the 12-year-old Jesus staying behind, we can certainly sympathize with Mary and Joseph and their frantic search and their words. Son, why have you done this to us? See, your father and I have been searching anxiously for you. I mean, after all, what parent hasn't left their child behind thinking that their child is with them? But our sympathy for Jesus' parents, in it, we may be tempted to think of Jesus as just another 12-year-old who got caught up in what he was doing and forgot to keep up with or tell his parents where he was. But Jesus is clearly not another 12-year-old child. What 12-year-old do you know who would spend 3 days talking to his pastor, asking questions, and instructing him in the doctrine of the Lord? And Jesus is not lost, even though Mary and Joseph carelessly left him behind. Jesus knows exactly where he is. No, Jesus is not just another 12-year-old boy. Stranger still about this text, after instructing Israel's teacher, Jesus instructs his parents, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that it was necessary for me to be among the things of my father?" The things of my father. In our English translations don't really do us any favors here, because Jesus does not say the house of my father like most English translations do. No, he says among the things of my father. What things? The lampstand, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings, and the like. He's there among the stuff of sacrifice, because he will be the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, who as the high priest offers himself in the temple of his body on the cross for you, for me, to cleanse us from sin, to reconcile us to the Father so that we might be in the Father's presence again. And on hearing this, Mary and Joseph did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. But we do. Because we live post-crucifixion and resurrection, and so we see the little clue from St. Luke, they find him on the third day. And we know that this is not accidental. Luke isn't merely foreshadowing the resurrection, though he is doing that. He is also telling us where to find Jesus. See, we live in the third day, post-resurrection and post-ascension. Where is Jesus? Where he has promised to be, in his body and in his blood, in his word, wherever two or three people are gathered among him, in the preaching of his gospel, in holy absolution and holy baptism. Here is where you find Jesus. Here is where Jesus remains as he promises. He abides with you until the end of his return. And even though Mary did not understand the words of Jesus, still, she gathered all these things together and kept and treasured them in her heart. Those are some of the last words of our gospel reading for today. His mother treasured up all these things in her heart. The question on this side of the crucifixion and resurrection is, will you? Will you treasure up the words of Jesus in your heart, pondering what they might mean for your life? Or will you return from home today unchanged, unrepentant, unforgiven, and at odds with the Father? That's the question that confronts us on this 11th day of Christmas. Tomorrow is the 12th day and final day of Christmas. But before we get to that, let us consider the first day of Christmas, December the 25th. On the night before Christmas, Christmas Eve, there were over 150 people who attended the services of lessons and carols at both Holy Cross and Emmanuel. That's good. But do you know how many were there to celebrate the birth of Jesus on the first day of Christmas? 26. 26 people on Christmas Day. Why? Because many people prefer to spend Christmas Day with family in their house rather than celebrate the Word who became flesh and tabernacled, templed, dwelt among us. I say this not simply to shame those who weren't here, but to illustrate what is going on even in the hearts of Christians. Even as Christians, one of the second highest feast celebration days of the year. If we were talking about sports, then we'd say the semifinals. Even then, we fail to gather and sit and listen to, ponder, and treasure up the things of God. And before you, who are among the 26 gathered on Christmas Day, say, "You tell them, Pastor," just stop. Stop. Stop and ponder. Listen to your God on the first commandment issue. For he says, "You shall have no other gods before me." If you did come on Christmas Day, did your mind wander at all? Did you think about something else other than the Word of God while you were sitting here in those pews on Sunday morning, on Christmas Day, or even today? Do you ponder the things of God daily, reading your Bible and praying for your friends, your family, your government, your schools, your church, and even your enemies? Or do you spend your day pondering and treasuring the false gods of money and health and wealth, relationships, pleasure, status, possessions? Can Jesus say about you what he said about the Pharisees? "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." You see, what's going on in the heart of man, it's no secret. Jesus tells you this in Mark 7. "For out of the heart of man flows all sorts of grievous evils: idolatry, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness." Huh. And to stop and think, that's only the first day of Christmas. I suppose I could consider the other 9 days before this one as well. Yes, I could look at the other 9 commandments and we could ponder our shortcomings there too. But on the 11th day of Christmas, I'd rather not. One day is enough. Today, on the second to last Sunday of Christmas, while there is still time, while the year of the Lord's favor is on us and the day of God's vengeance has yet to come, before Christmas is complete, I simply want to know, as your pastor, where are you at with all these things? Will you treasure Jesus and his word in your heart, pondering what they might mean for your life? Will we, together as pastor and people, take the Christian life seriously? Will we renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? Will we believe in the one true God, holding fast to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Will we hold the Scriptures as true, sacred, and inspired? And will we gladly hear them and learn them? Will we come to church every week and hear the word of Christ and receive his supper faithfully? Will we step out of these doors and fight against our sinful desires of our hearts, striving to live our lives according to the Ten Commandments? Will we continue steadfast in this faith, confession, and church, suffering all else, even death, if it should come to that, rather than falling away from it? That is, will you have a listening heart, like Solomon prayed for in our Old Testament reading? A heart like Mary's that holds and keeps and treasures the words of Jesus? Or will you and I return to our homes today unchanged? Will we be lazy and apathetic Christians, unrepentant, unforgiven, and at odds with our Father? Brothers and sisters in Christ, you don't have to answer that question today. You already answered that question on the day of your confirmation, when you said, "I will, by the grace of God." By God's grace, you are here today. By God's grace, you are not at odds with the Father. By God's grace, this day you have redemption through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross in love for you. That is, by God's grace, because of Jesus, God has looked on you who said, "Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean." And he has proclaimed, "I forgive you all your sins." By God's grace, the dividing wall of hostility between you and God has been broken down so that there is no longer anything, not death or life, or angels, or rulers, or the things present, or things to come, nor powers, or height, nor depth, nor nothing else in all of creation that will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. By God's grace, by his glorious grace in Jesus Christ, we have been predestined for and received adoption as sons of God. For in baptism, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit as a very guarantee of your inheritance. And by God's grace, when we reach tomorrow, the day of vengeance of our God, the day when Jesus comes again to judge the living and the dead, that great 12th and final day, we will acquire possession of it. We will obtain the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me, to you on that day, and not only to us, but all who have loved his appearing. Dear sons of the living God, on this 11th day of Christmas, may God always grant you this listening heart, a heart of flesh and not of stone, so that like Mary before you, you may treasure all of these things in your own heart as long as the day is today. And as your pastor, I am sure of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will, by his grace, bring it to completion on the 12th day, at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas. Amen.